Okay, good evening everyone. Welcome to this meeting of the City of Sydney Local Planning Panel. Before I start, I just want to check, is anyone in attendance for any item other than item 3, McAvoy Street, Alexandria? No? Okay. Good to know. So before I start, I do want to acknowledge that we are meeting on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation and pay my respects to Aboriginal elders past and present. The panel also acknowledges the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who currently reside in this local government area. The meeting today is to consider the applications on the agenda, and panel members have read the papers and submissions received and have had a briefing from council staff. Members, tonight are myself, Richard Pearson, as the independent chair. To my immediate right, Steve Kennedy, and next to him, Helen Lockhead as the independent expert members, and on the other side of the table we've got Amelia Thorpe, who is the community representative and the head of City Planning, Graham Young, next to her. I welcome everyone to the meeting. Please be assured the panel will be making its decisions on the planning merits of applications on the agenda tonight and following any views expressed by people who are in attendance tonight and also the views expressed by the Commission. Terminations will be by a majority of votes. If votes are tied, the chair will have a casting vote. As an important transparency measure, the reasons for our decisions will be recorded in the minutes, part of our decision. And where we go against the officer's recommendation, if we do, we would state our reasons. Please also be advised that is a, I'm sure you're aware, a what's called a relevant to memo in relation to item 3, and that will be discussed in further detail by the panel at the time. Copies are available on the website and in the foyer. The manager of planning assessments will provide an overview of each application as they are considered, where there are applicants or public speakers who wish to talk on the matter, and he will outline the key issues raised and recommendations of council staff. We will then hear from any members of the public registered to speak, followed by the applicant and or the applicant's representative. Please note there is a 3-minute time limit for speakers and a bell will ring. I do ask speakers be heard in silence and with courtesy and respect. Please ensure no personal criticism of council staff. Now may I ask questions of the speakers to clarify our understanding. Please note if you're registered to speak, your address to the panel will be recorded. All meetings of the panel are recorded and recordings are available on the website. Please note no recording or filming other than this. Hearing from speakers, the panel will consider and make a decision on each application. It may involve adjourning or may not. We will always make our decision in the public forum. And it's possible we could defer it if we thought more information was required. So with those introductory words, move to the agenda. Item 1 is disclosure of interest, and in accordance with clause 4.9, of the panel's code of conduct, all members have signed a declaration of interest in relation to each matter on the agenda tonight. Mr. Kennedy has disclosed the following reasonably perceived interest in item 3, development application for McAvoy Street, as the principal of SJB Architects is a colleague of Mr. Kennedy's, however, have not worked together on this or other projects, and in relation to item 4, CA for Glebe Point Road Glebe, as the principal of Environa, Judy as a colleague of Mr. Kennedy's, and principal of Matt Devine and Co. Heritage Consultants is a colleague of Mr. Kennedy's, have they not worked together on this or other projects, and in the circumstances following assessment of those disclosures under the Code of Conduct for the Local Planning Panels and the City of Sydney Local Planning Panel Operational Procedures, Mr. Kennedy is not required to step out for deliberation on either of those matters. No other members disclosed any pecuniary or non-pecuniary interest. Item 2, confirmation of minutes. The panel notes the minutes of the local panel meeting of the 17th of July, which have been endorsed by the chair of that meeting. Which brings us to item 3, DA 1332 to 138 McAvoy Street, Alexandria, and it's Bill McKay. If you could just please briefly run through the proposal and the recommendation.
Thank you. This is an application for a development at 132 to 138 McAvoy Street. It's for the construction of a four-storey mixed-use development, including ground-level shops, including drink premises, with offices above. The development also incorporates car parking for 47 cars. The application is also subject of a planning agreement for shared path widening along McAvoy Street, also includes a The application is recommended for deferred commencement approval. By way of background, the site was subject to approval of a different proposal for a three-storey mixed-use development in 2018. That principally incorporated self-storage units of the kind of use on the site. That was also subject to planning agreement for the same church So the application before you has been amended during the assessment, including deletion of the vehicle access or the vehicle egress onto McAvoy Street, increased deep soil area, a deletion of balcony encroachments, addition of passive shading devices, and modification of the access ramp and refinement of the building expression. The application was notified in January and February of this year. 154 owners and occupiers were notified, and two submissions were received. The submissions related to the use of the site and that it was better suited to people to go to retail, that the design of the building could provide greater ceiling height to accommodate a greater variety of different uses. Impacts in relation to traffic congestion from the road network changes to McAvoy Street, and impacts in relation to air quality from additional vehicles. So this is the site identified in red. Submissions came from premises which are immediately adjacent to the site identified in blue. This is the site. It's on the corner of McAvoy Street and Bowden Street. And this is the existing building on the site. It's on the corner of McAvoy and Bowden Street. All existing buildings on the site are to be this is a view of McAvoy, the site from McAvoy Street looking east. This is Bowden Street, frontage of the site. And this is a relatively new commercial development adjacent to the site on Bowden Street. And this development on the opposite side of Bowden Street and development on the opposite side of Bowden Street on McAvoy Street. This is a development immediately adjacent to the site on McAvoy Street, and development on the opposite side of McAvoy Street includes a commercial development and residential. So this is the proposal, the ground floor plan. The building is built along the McAvoy Street frontage and on the corner, of course, the site on the corner of Bowden Street. The remainder of the site is along Bowden Street, providing the car park. First floor plan, second floor plan, open plan, office, floor plan, third floor plan, and the building plan. This is an McAvoy Street elevation. There's some detail for the inches of the facade and the Bowden Street elevation, southeast elevation of the building, and the southwest elevation. The section through the building. And this is a detail of section through the facade. This plan shows the area of land subject to the planning agreement, which is to be dedicated to council to provide for that third path widening along McAvoy Street. And this is a front montage of the building on the corner of McAvoy Street and Bowden Street. Detail of the McAvoy Street elevation. And the Bowden Street elevation of the building. This slide just shows some of the materials used for construction of the facades of the building. In terms of compliance with the key LEP development standard, the development complies with the 18-meter height limit, complies with the floor space ratio control for the site, and complies with the maximum car parking. The development also complies with the key DCP controls for the exit and the control. That control requires 15% of the site like a big tall planter. That big tall planter that would just take half a minimum of a little green meter. So the deep soil planting that is provided on the site that provides the 3 meter width provision equates to approximately 5.8% of the site area, although up to 8.5% of the site area is provided to the The application was considered by Council's Design Advisory Panel in June of this year. The panel generally supported the proposal, but it recommend additional external training, increased pedestrian access route through Blackboard Street, modification of the building to delete an encroachment of the city water stormwater folder to address the conditions of consent, and additional tree plantings and further car parking. The issues essentially, or the primary issues, are the relationship of the development of the city water stormwater folder, the non-compliance with the soil planting, and passive shading to run out within the development. In terms of the stormwater culvert, Sydney Water advised that no structures are to be built above the stormwater infrastructure. The development is, is built over in part, a small part of the development is cantilevered over the stormwater culvert as addressed by the condition of consent. So this plan shows the location of the stormwater culvert, the area identified as pink at the ground level, and then the first floor level of the building above at the corner is overhang stormwater culvert, the condition of consent requiring that part of the building be designed to address the concerns or the requirements of city water. This plan shows the areas to be set aside for deep soil planting, which might provide up to 5.8% of the site in terms of compliant dimensions, and up to 8.5% total of the site. In terms of passive shading, insufficient external shading is provided to building elevation, and there are no rooftop solar panels, so conditions of consent require additional external shading for building elevation and provision of solar panels. At this plan, this goes to detail the sections of the facade. The application is recommended for a deferred commencement approval.
Thanks, Bill. So, look, we have got registered speakers on behalf of the applicant. Let's just call up Michael. Oh, is it Scott Barwick and Marcus Lewin?
Yep.
And I just ask, are you aware of the relevant to and the change recommendation? Okay. So, hand it over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Panel members, yes, we have reviewed the information memorandum and we appreciate and accept those conditions as recommended to the panel. That therefore leaves just the one condition that we would seek to not be imposed, and that condition is in part A, condition 4C. That condition seeks to or requires the provision of additional external shading screening to the elevations of the building. It seems to be driven by an assessment in the report identifying the means of achieving the 5.5 green star rating, which is a requirement at condition 107 in part B, and the applicant accepts that. And indeed, we supplied to council a submission during the assessment process identifying that it was possible that the design could achieve the 5.5 star, hence we're comfortable to accept condition 107. However, the condition at 4C, excuse me, requiring additional vertical levers and the like, we concerned and object to that condition on the basis that it is changing dramatically the appearance and design intent of the building. Excuse me. The architects, and Marcus will speak if need be, they have approached the facades of the building as a series of grids, and there has been a lot of detail and care in relation to where the design of the facades in
Sorry, Scott, I just noticed you haven't got your microphone light on.
I did turn it on.
Yeah,
sorry
just,
about
just
that.
To make sure you're being recorded.
Sorry about that. Apologies. So just bringing it to a head, we accept that we have to comply with 5.5 stars. There's no problem. We accept that condition at 107. Our neighbours reporting assessing indicates that it's likely that we can achieve it already with the design. It will be a matter that has to be further tested during the detailed design development, but we would ask that the design integrity of the building be able to be retained with the architect working on the CC drawings and deferred commencement, working with the neighbours to get that 5.5 star without necessarily resorting to an excessive amount of screening on the building. Do you want to add to that? Thank you.
No, I totally agree, but I do believe there are many ways of going about achieving a 5.5 NABERS rating. Constrained to one of them, a combination of a number of elements. And I do believe strongly that internal experience in the building contributes just as much as shading to the quality of the building. So,
finally, note one of the other reasons and one of the issues that's raised in the deferred commencement conditions was about solar panels. Again, the conditions of consent imposed already require the solar panels. We accept those, that condition, as part of the provision of the green roof. So we think we're well on the way, if not already beyond the 5.5 star rating, without the need to go further. And obviously, to comply with the condition of consent at CC stage, demonstration that the 5.5 stars has been achieved will be required, and we just ask that not be achieved necessarily only through this additional screening.
Thank you. So do panel members have any questions or clarifications they'd like to seek from the applicant's representative?
Wasn't your original proposal inclusive levels on the northwestern part?
There were horizontal Venetians, retractable Venetians, which was part of an original proposal, but they were removed because they weren't needed to achieve 5.5.
The proposal that we have in front of us with the vertical?
There is partial shading. We don't believe that no shading is the way to go. There are overhangs from balconies. There are natural shading from the rear of the facade. There's also partial blue as well, part of the facade design. So we have taken steps to shade the glazing, but we just feel that the amount of shading proposed is important.
Clarification. So what's shown visually over and above what is in condition? Remember that the proposal is in the report. That is the extent of what is shown in the invention that we have in our package. If that's what is. I mean, I'll re-clarify. Is what we see in the proposal and what's in condition with reference to the extent and the visual.
So Steve, did you have any points you want to raise?
Yes, I do, and I'd like to go back to you guys. Focusing on McAvoy, because I suspect that your primary concern is about the presentation of McAvoy Street?
Partially. It's also partially internal occupancy.
Understand that. The question I've got to you is that assuming the balconies, the roof terrace elements of the grid and the like are capable of being exempted from the louvers, so the louvers are being applied specifically to the curtain glazing at the facade. And our understanding is that council's concern and council's condition is that they are seeking passive control without resorting to glazing types that may reflect or do otherwise, which I don't think would be part of what you guys want to do anyway. And finding a way of doing that, and particularly with reference then to the internal environment, say within the first 3 metres, which would be affected. You guys have provided sections indicating that the midday sun is generally catered for, but the argument is around particularly where there's a western facade, late afternoon sun. Putting aside the 5.5, which I accept your arguments about possible ways of achieving it, and just talking specifically about the environmental and architectural merit of doing what you want to do as against what council are asking you to do. Can you go to that?
Look, I believe, as I said before, there are methods in place on the facade which have taken steps to passively shade. I do believe that passive shading to facades is a very important thing. But like I said, I think the difference is it's the extent of shading which we could probably deal with in other means rather than having a blanket of vertical levers across the entire facade.
Do you have a suggestion?
My suggestion would be that it should be left to the proponent to investigate other means to meet NABERS 5.5 and a...
I'm arguing that we put 5.5 to the side, that you guys have to achieve 5.5, agreed what Mr. Barak said about solar panels and the rest, suspect you meet there. We are talking specifically, pardon me, about glazing to the sheer glass that is currently unprotected. Do you guys have a suggestion? And just leaving it to the proponent is not something that either council or this panel would agree to. Maybe some suggestion about how you might go about it might be something that the panel might be willing to consider.
I think you're on the same image that I'm looking at here. As you can see on the McAvoy Street frontage, which is on the left of the, when you're looking at the axiometric, that's the McAvoy Street frontage. As you can see, the facade already includes a number of framing devices, which provide some sheet of shielding. I'm asking a question aloud for the architect at the moment, could that use of that design element be expanded? That could be a solution, but I think our first submission to you is that elevation already has the glazing partly screened just because of the sheer depth, the actual depth of the glazing compared to the slab line. Then there is numerous examples where the balconies and the framing devices around the balconies provide shading either side and below the glazing that's exposed. And that pattern is such that elevation is already quite well screened and modulated. But at the same time, as Marcus indicated, trying to keep an outlook from within the office spaces that's not too gridded in and enclosed.
Wouldn't it just be acceptable to have the louvers which are adjustable so that they could be more open, and where it was in a little sun, they could be necessary?
Before we go there, I'm just really sorry, just before we go, 1 second. McAvoy Street is the unprotected. Bowden Street is the currently protected. I'm just correcting you.
I'm unclear. So you said you're proposing more shading than what's indicated in the elevation. So where is it?
I think, that's an interesting kind of dialogue, but I'm going to now suggest we go as council's rationale for what's proposed, and having heard the interchange between panel members and the applicant, whether there's any more finessed way we might do this, or whether council staff continue to recommend the approach as articulated in the conditions and the relevant to. So I'm going to ask Graham Yarn to respond now.
Just makes common sense to protect these very large plants. The working conditions, for a successful upskilling, the working conditions have got to be commensurate with modern office environments. And that means that the conditions are changing all day as the sun is moving in the morning through the middle of the day to the afternoon, and also from the season. And you've got to have means to control the environment as the sun and seasons change on those sites in particular. And there's already a language of negative rules on the design. And so condition 4C really has three parts. Parts 2 and 3 is saying the vertical move is shown on the northeastern elevation must be shown as adjustable. That's got to be an improvement on the functionality. And 3 says that additional horizontal fairing must be provided to the northeastern elevation to account for the northern midsummer sun exposure. And that's horizontal. So the first one is really about vertical rivers must be added on the southeastern and northeastern and northwestern elevation. And the reason for that is to provide adjustability to deal with different conditions throughout the year coming in and adding heat load and perhaps inappropriate air conditions on the working. But it's consistent with the language. It's already been incorporated into the building. So as far as that first one, I can understand an exploration of what alternative treatments you might have, but having that to be consistent with what already is proposed seems to be the most logical way of producing a system for a high performing building for comfort conditions within a very great time. And it's consistent with the design advisory who considered the architecture of the design and realises that the performance of the design is just as important as the aesthetics of the design. And they made a very specific recommendation, which we are quite comfortable with supporting.
But just want to clarify the intent of the condition to be so if you have occupants of the building decided they prefer to enjoy the view rather than the thermally protected, they could choose to do that. So, responding to one thing that you put in place. But is it that you're more concerned about the design changes from an architectural perspective?
Well, I guess there's just to hit on the point that you said there is like, well, are they all adjustable and which tenancy gets to control whether it's open or closed? There's obviously also there's no doubt in terms of the condition and operable louvers and so forth adds significant costs and obviously a significant ongoing maintenance burden onto the building. Hence the approach that the design incorporates with the fixed louvers. And I guess and maybe I wasn't really clear, but in terms of the screening of that McEvoy Street frontage, it was the depth of the projections that are already incorporated into it that are giving the shading and all. Granted, there are elements of it that are unscreened, but that's also part of the interest of the building. I think it just runs the risk of just imposing a condition requiring additional screening and horizontal screening you can close them. It's like looking out through bars on every outlook, and it just totally encloses the space, contrary to the intent of, you know, this has been designated by council as an area that wants employment. The applicant is targeting as office accommodation for those who don't want to be in the CBD. It's exactly what council wants, not then to be discouraging it to this level.
I do think you have identified that it was a cost issue. I think the opportunity actually helped to be able to manage the effort. And, you know, a lot of my staff and community managed climate and like that. So I think it's a consideration of what people
well, in lieu of this condition, would it be palatable to allow us to go back and do more investigation to other devices, or it might be the same device, that can provide that option to the building, supported with an ESD consultant, in lieu of just having a blanket treatment to the facade in this case?
So, I mean, it would always be open. The only way I can see to amend the condition for vertical roof must be added to opening, to the satisfaction of the planning supervisor. So that would give some additional flexibility. Director, you would have to take with the director of planning, but an alternative way doing it. So I could suggest that as a possible amendment to panel members for the modification.
I think I would be supportive of that sort of a direction. Two things you said, Mr. Barwick. One was cost, yes, we're cognizant of that. In terms of the depth, I think part of the issue is, in fact, that the depth of the frame in places is not sufficient, and a greater depth would have been of use. I also think the word adjustable and flexible could also have been stackable. It could have been, there are a number of options. I agree with you that the activation is an important element, but I think SJB are perfectly capable of finding an answer in that.
I think I agree with your proposed amendment, but I was just going to suggest that it could be louvers are required, excluding windows that are shaded in other ways.
There were 3 mullions within a bay. If those mullions projected a significant distance, then, you know, so there were a number of opportunities that these guys could explore and then demonstrate to the satisfaction of the yarn that they've met the environment.
So the way that Okay. So what we're proposing is to the conditions as contained in the officer's report, subject to amendments that were irrelevant to, and subject to this further amendment to condition 4C1, we'll now read it. Additional external shading must be added to openings on the southeastern, northeastern, northwestern elevation of the completion satisfaction direction. Planning by the other bits, 2 and 3, will remain as they were worded. And with that, that change, probably not putting it back for your approval, but I'll just get any final comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Look, it achieves the intent. It was to allow us some flexibility of, like, not just channelising this into one solution only, allowing my clever friends to come up with the outcome, which continues his design integrity, but achieves the outcome that is right, sought in relation to the shading of the glazing. So, yes, that would be great.
Thank you very much for that. And so with those amendments, I'll put that to the panel. I have mentioned the relevant two. So it's just the consent as conditions as recommended by staff, subject to amendments in the relevant two, and subject to that final amendment we've now made at the panel. All in favour say aye. Aye, and I declare that carried unanimously. I thank people for attending and speaking, and move on to item 4, DA for 375 Blue Point Road, leave. I'm just going to check if there's anybody in the room who is here to speak on that item, or is here in relation to the item at 375 Blue Point Road. Can I just be clear that there's nobody here for that? You're not here for the Blue Point Road item? Okay, thanks. So I'm going to say we don't need a formal presentation. I just put it over to our panel members if they've got any points they would like to make.
Chair, I think there has been a discussion which we should get on record that the reasons for refusal in this matter are, in the first instance, the failure of the application to satisfactorily address the requirements of Clause 4.6.
Any other comments from the panel member? This is recommended for refusal, obviously, and I think panel is minded to agree with the staff recommendation that the quality of design of particularly flash for this proposal. I'm just going to suggest a couple of changes to A and B just to make it a bit more specific that our concern is about the quality of design rather than necessarily that it would not be possible to find a solution to do something for this site different to what currently exists, because I think clearly you can see that there could be some amenity improvements that could be possible, and any of those are going to be more likely to breach the height and density control. So I'm going to suggest changing A to say that development exceeds height on standard prescribed for the LED controlled by 34% will stop. And then capital, the consent authority is not satisfied that the applicant has adequately addressed the budget by 3, the compliance height of standard will anybody in the room to give for item 5? Specifically, no. But Bill, I don't think we need the presentation. Any views from panel members? Or I'm happy to put the recommendation. All in favour, say aye. Status of application. Any views people want to put on that? It's always welcome to get the quarterly report tracking progress with applications, modification applications, and land environment court appeal. So thanks for that. So we're all we're doing is receiving and noting that report. We've done that. Thank you. Noted, received and noted. Thank you. So with that, I conclude the meeting. I think.